As I was getting ready for this message, I was going to open up with one question. And the question is the title of the sermon. It's, what do you value, right? And so the culture that we live in could be a lot of different things, right? You could value, your material possession. You could value a car. You could value your job, your house. But the one thing is that as you sometimes, a lot of times around here, I hear this a lot. I talk to different people, being a pastor and also leader at work. I got a lot of people that come with advice on like relationships and raising kids and different things. And everybody always says, oh, I really value like my family, right? It's all about family. And then I'll ask different questions. It's like, well, how much time are you putting into that family, that relationship that you really say you value so much? It's like, well, I'm always busy, and the kids, and I got so much work. And a lot of times things don't align. And then sometimes, right, and I think even as we get older, right, we have different inclinations, right? So for the younger folks in the crowd, what you value is going to be a whole lot different from those of us that are older, right? Mm-hmm. Think back to when you were young, I had a full head of hair. I always say that. It was awesome. I used to look right. Those days are gone. I used to value that. My brother will tell you, this is a true story. If I had a little, I used to have a massive cowlick. It was, and it had to be perfect. And if there was a hair standing up, what would I do, Mom? I would cut it. Because it had to be perfect. I valued those things. And so when I valued it as a kid, it changes, right? Now, as a kid, do you value things like, you don't usually say, I really value my parents, right? But we should. Right? As we get older, and we get into different seasons of our life, we say, man, I wish I would have spent more time. I wish I would have been more appreciative. So for the young people in the crowd, I see a few of them here. Make sure that you're valuing the family. And even sometimes, our parents, I would say, man, we're going to keep praying for our young ones, right? Our teenagers. But we only do that because we want what's best, right? It's not that we want to, bring our kids down or nag them to death or anything like that, but because we love them. And one of the things that even as a younger person, we don't always value our health, right? This morning, I just told you guys, I played 7 games of softball yesterday. I wouldn't advise that to anybody over 40. I told Stephanie, I said, I woke up, I felt like my ribs are broken right here. I couldn't move, my whole side was messed up. I put all that, what's that spray that makes it smell like Bengay? Not today, but yesterday. Who's that 8-year-old that's walking down? Oh, it's me. But here's where I'm going, right? And here's another question. For those of us in family, right? I'll ask you guys this question. Do we really value the relationships in our family? Because oftentimes what I hear a lot of is we value, maybe this sounds familiar. All the little things that the people in our family do that drive you absolutely crazy. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? The little things. For me, I already know. I don't put my socks away, ever. Wherever I take my socks off is you're going to find them. You're going to find them in the living room. You find them. That's little things, right? But here's what I think. Sometimes, do we value? Somebody said amen on that. Here's my thing, though, right? It's the little things sometimes that choke out the joy in the family in the relationship. So here's a question sometimes. Do we really value, are we valuing the person, or are we really trying to put an extra value on perfection? Like all the little things that we wish, why can't you do that? Why can't you do this? Why can't you be more, instead of just saying, you know what, let's put the little things aside, and let's really value the relationship. Does that make sense? So what I'm getting at, right, is that everything that we do in our life, it should align with what we value most. It should. It doesn't always, right? And so even organizations like a new church, we have a set of values. We have a mission and we have a vision, right? So the vision here at Christ Community Church is to transform lives, families, communities in the Central Valley by knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. That's the vision. You guys need to be aware of what it is. Because everything that we're doing is being measured up against our vision and our vision and our mission. The mission is being the people of God and the church through authentic relationship, worship, and service. Those are the two main things that we're always going to be looking at. That's kind of our, yes, always Jesus, right? Always God's word. But all the things that we do, all the activities, have to align with these things. And, for example, you know, as we reach different milestones in the church, folks have asked, it's like, well, how about young adults? And when are you going to start this ministry, men's ministry, and women's ministry? And what we've been saying is that, you know, we're going to do the type of need that we have in the church is what we're going to adapt to first. So if God blesses us with more families and children, well, we're going to pour into children's ministry. And if God brings young adults, we're going to pour into young adults. And we just have to, but to that, everything around what we do is going to be based off of the vision and the mission. Because oftentimes what happens is we call, like, different things will happen, right? There'll be different needs. And we'd be busy doing things that, yeah, they're like good help ministries, but not really the core of what God has called us to do, right? So those are things that you're going to hear me say a lot, the mission and the vision. But today we're going to spend a lot of time in worship, in the values. And so the first value that I want to talk to you guys about is the value of worship, right? So that's actually the first fill in the blank on your handout today. And you guys have heard me say this before, you know, I'm big into fill in the blanks because it helps you remember better, right? What you don't write down in 3 days' time, you will have forgotten, right? So if you don't take a single note of anything that I say, if I see you on the street on Tuesday and I say, what was the message about? You're going to say, it was about God and faith and prayer, right? The main tenets of what we preach about. But you need to write it down. We always say, if you don't use your motor skills, right, to hear it, process it in your brain, and then write it down, you're going to forget. So that's why we're big on the fill in the blanks here. The first one is worship, right? We want to be devoted to God, His Word, and to prayer. And the fill in the blanks show up there. The scripture that is going to support that value this morning, or in general, is out of John 4:24. John 4:24. And this is Jesus speaking, and it says, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, you guys probably are familiar with this passage of scripture, yes?
Yes. Amen.
Some of you guys? One person. Praise God. Right. The context of this passage of scripture is the Samaritan woman, right? The woman at the well. You guys remember that?
Amen.
Okay. And so, what's interesting, right, is that she is saying, you know, he's talking about, he starts revealing certain things about her, right? You guys remember that? He's like, you know, she starts talking about him, back and forth. He's like, you know, please call your husband. And she says, no, I don't have a husband. He's like, you're right. You've had many, but the one that you're with right now is not your husband. You guys remember some of that context, right? Mm-hmm. The main point that we want to kind of share or talk about this, right, is the summary is that God knows us. That God knows you, right? We can, and you heard me say this before, when you're far apart from God, he still knows you. When you're with close to him, certainly he knows you, right? God is what? He's omniscient, right? He knows all things. And so even when we're far apart, and even some of our friends and families that are far apart from God, God knows them, and he loves them still, right? And so what's interesting, right, is that for us, the first part of why we made the first value worship is that we have to be devoted to God. We have to know what his word says, and we have to pray, obviously, right? And so that's the first value, is we got to get to know who God is. Not the God that our mom told us about. Not the God that somebody else, right, has mentioned about. You've heard this analogy a lot. You hear different TV personalities, right? Athletes. And you can say, do you know who that person is? And like, yeah. But you don't really know them. You know them on TV, you know their persona, you know what they project, but you don't really know them, right? And so what's interesting is that even every one of us in here, right, when we're walking, we want to get to know God, It is a personal relationship. We have to commit to know Him and be devoted to that. Because we're as near or far away from God as we want to be. Right? Now, when it says that God is spirit, and we need to make sure that those who worship Him are in spirit and in truth, this is again Jesus describing the true basis for worship, right? That is not in a place, right? Now, if you guys show up here tomorrow, this place will be filled up with what?
Children.
With kids, right? And cafeteria tables, and a crate of milk, right? And you can say, like, well, but we gather here to worship together, right? Because it's not about the place. It's not even about the religion, right? We have to make sure that we know that we're devoted to God and to His Word, and we have to know Him. That means that we have to worship Him in spirit, in things that are spiritual realities, right? Because, look, this life that we have here, it's like what? James says it's like a vapor. And so for us, we've got to make sure that we understand who God is, right? That He's a triune God, and that we are worshiping Him, and that we're devoted to Him, right? And I always say, this is one thing that I learned from one of the coaches, to know God, right? You're not called. A lot of us have a profession, right? You have a job. And do you feel like that's like your job is like your calling? Anybody? We're not called to, we're called to do things, right? We're called to serve. But more than anything, right, and I've heard this a lot. Some of you might be serving, might be plugged into ministry, you're serving, you're a parent, you're all these things, all these titles, right? But more than anything, we were made for God, right? I would say we were made in His image and in His likeness, and there's a calling and something in our heart that says, man, I need to go back to Him. And when we're far away from Him, what? Angry, irritable, we have no joy. Right? We chase a lot of different things. The topic of the sermon was, like, what do you value most? And what do we see things valued here in the culture that we live in? What's valued most? It's job. It's security. It's your retirement. It's where you live. It's your car. And almost things, if you anybody in here has had any kind of unlimited amount, whether you've had a little bit of success or a lot of success, at the end of the day, you will reflect back and say, man, despite all those things and all those achievements, nothing satisfies me like worshiping the true and living God. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And so a lot of times when we say, what do we value the most? Man, God has to be number one. And so what is Jesus saying? He's saying, yeah, you need to worship, right? God is looking for people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, it's interesting, if you go back to the context of the passage, the Samaritan woman, right? She was saying, well, we worship here, because this is where, this is the mountain that was, you know, that was blessed by Moses, and so, but it's interesting, Jesus says, you don't even know who you worship. You don't know what you're worshiping. Now, that's the context then. What is the context of the application to us now? Where do we worship? Oftentimes it's achievements. Oftentimes it's what we call personal success, celebrity success. And Jesus is saying, man, you don't even know who you should be worshiping right now. Do you know that I am God and that I made you and that I love you? And when you get that, man, it makes the hair on my arms stand up. Not because I'm cold, because I'm just reminded of God's goodness and His love for each one of us. And so He said, we got to go back to Him. To worship Him in what? In spirit and in truth. To be devoted to God, right? You must first know who God is. One of the things we've been learning about is our devotion to the Father, right? Through Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. Devotion to God through Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, in John 14:6, Jesus says something. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Right? So I can't just bypass this and say, like, you're going to be devoted to God without really committing your life to Jesus first and foremost. There's no other way to get to God except through Him. You can't earn your way. You can't buy your way to the Father. Your good works, your religious activities, asking a priest to forgive you are, that's religion. We have direct access to God through Jesus Christ. And I'm not here to dog like other, I'm not here to talk down. I read this book, right? I'm not here to dog other churches or religions or anything, but we have to be true to this word, right? He's the only way. And the way brings us to God, the truth sets us free, and the life gives us eternal fellowship with God. Now, of course, we have to be devoted to God. We have to be in His Word, right? A lot of times people have their ears says, man, I don't ever hear God talk to me. You guys ever say that? Like, you want to have the burning bush moment. I hear Moses now. Right? I've heard it say, this is a good analogy, if you want to hear God talk to you, then read your Bible out loud. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, this thing will start piercing your heart. There's a scripture. I should know it, but I don't remember. I don't know the address. But I say it's in the Bible. That God's word is sharper than a double-edged sword. It pierces even the marrow, right? You know, like the chicken bone that you guys like to eat. The marrow. Some of you guys do. Whose kid is that? Here's what I was going with this. We want to hear from God, right? When I was a non-believer, I was 21. I started reading the Bible because I thought, man, if this is the number one selling book, I've got to read it. But I didn't have the right attitude, and I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. I couldn't get anything out of it. And then I got saved, and then the Word just came to life. Right? The Holy Spirit started to reveal things to me, started to talk, bring some truths to my life. And this is the only book where the author actually speaks to you. Right? So we have to be committed to being in His Word. It gives us instructions, gives us encouragement, it gives us life. And the second thing is we have to be in prayer. Right? Obviously. I said, you got to be in communion. You got to be talking to God. You got to be praying to God, acknowledging who He is, His greatness, His goodness. Right? You got to be thankful for all of the provision. And it's not even enough. I mean, just to know Him is enough. And then you ask me, of course, God already knows what we need, but we still have to say it, right? It's a supplication. Every one of us in here, we're going through a trial usually. Something's happening, right? We're going to live as a struggle. And so, yeah, we come to God with our prayer as well. But I think God wants to hear from us, right? If God isn't, I'd love to hear from my kids. I'd love to hear from them. Good days, bad days. I want to talk to them. I'm not just a human father. But our Heavenly Father, He's a good Father. How much more does He want to listen to us, right? I'm sure this is you guys. Actually, my oldest is in here somewhere. Ethan, right? He just walked out. He didn't want to hear my voice anymore. But I'm sure with you guys, he's autism. You guys know, a lot of you guys in here know that, right? One of the biggest things, and I keep saying it, I don't know if it's because a teenager, he doesn't want to talk to me, and where's the autism, but I would love for him to say more than two or three words to me. You know, and I think a lot of times it's like, man, if you're blessed with a child who sometimes they yell at you, or maybe they're not, but man, to me, I would love to just one day, even if dad, just to have a more than a 30-second conversation with my son, right? You guys have heard me say this before. Either here or in heaven, but it's going to happen. I'm a heavenly father. I'm an earthly father, sorry. I'm not a heavenly father. And I would love, to hear my kids talk about stories. I do have, for all the things that Ethan doesn't say to me, Lily makes up for it, praise God. Christian makes up for it, praise God. You know. But God is good, and so He wants to hear from us. And that's part of our prayer. For the second value of the church, it's on community, right? Community. And the community is, we want to be authentic in love, service, and fellowship. Authentic in love, service, and fellowship. The scripture for that value is out of Acts 2.42. Acts 2.42, and it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Right? And a lot of you guys are familiar. This is a scripture that's used a lot in Bible studies. It's like the heart of a Christian living, right? In the book of Acts, after the Holy Spirit had just come down and the Pentecost had just happened. And they were under persecution by the religious leaders, but man, they were on fire for God, right? Literally, in this passage. And this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture because it reminds me of, you know, it's like, yeah, we don't have a building. You've heard me say this. The church is not a building. It's a body of believers, right? Doing what God has called them to do. And it says what? Being in teaching, right? Being in the Word and praying and doing fellowship and breaking in bread and to prayer. And the Christian life is meant to be what? It's meant to be a fellowship. That's a church word, right? It just means we do life together. When we say we want to be authentic with each other, it's like, man, your highs and your lows, you don't have to wear a mask. Here's what you're going to get, and I mean this wholeheartedly, right? I'm not perfect. I'm not Jesus. But what you will get is people who genuinely care about you, who want to see you doing well, who want to see you fulfilling what God has called you to do together. And so here's the thing, right? We're sharing with one another. One of the biggest lies in how the enemy distracts us is what? It's like the shame. We're going through a struggle to keep us what? Isolated. When we're within the body of believers, right, you can have a terrible day. But if you go to church and you go to Bible study, guess what usually happens? You leave blessed. You leave encouraged. Or God brought you there to bless somebody else, right? To give somebody a word of encouragement. But we will sometimes isolate ourselves. We're meant to do life together. Why? Because we share the same Lord. And it's Jesus, right? We share the same guide for life. That's the Bible. We should share the same love for God. We should share the same desire to worship Him. Yeah, you know what? We always say, if you turn on the TV, it's what? It's old news happening to new people. And guess what? A lot of us in here, like, we think that we're the only one going through that trial. The only one going through the struggle. That's a lie. But a lot of times they don't want to talk about it. And the reality is that that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. I'm just going to isolate myself. I know I'm going through this tough time. I'm anxious about this. I always say anxiety, depression, loneliness, whatever it is. We're the most connected and the most lonely. Right? That's all lies. That's what we even learned 2 weeks ago in the book of Hebrews. It says, don't give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing, right? Hebrews 10:24. Because what? Because especially as the day approaches. So for us, we've got to keep gathering. And it doesn't matter if the room is full or half full or one-third full. It doesn't matter. We've got to keep worshiping. We've got to keep encouraging one another. We have the same struggles, and we need to encourage each other. And what? Guess what? Man, when we have an answer prayer and we have victories, we should be celebrating that too. We're meant to do this thing in fellowship together. And we also have the same joy of what? Communicating the gospel. So for us, in authentic love, right? It means, you know, even when your brother calls you out, it's out of love. It's like, hey man, you're messing up right now. This is not what God has called you to do. You know, you need to do better in this role. A sister needs to encourage. We need each other. Out of love. In men's ministry, we use what? Proverbs 27:17, right? Iron sharpens iron. And sometimes, those are harder conversations. Have you ever seen two pieces of iron sharpening each other?
Friction.
Sparks sometimes fly. A little bit of heat. A little bit of friction. But if we do it out of love, right? It should be okay. Because I know you have my best interest at heart. If I'm out of line, even, for example, even the coaches that I have, as being a pastor, they'll tell me, you need men in your life that are going to speak truth to you, and even when you're, because this thing, the most dangerous place for any man to be is standing right here. Because you'll think that it's about all you're so awesome and look how gifted you are, and you need people that will tell you the truth. Because there's a lot of great preachers that have been awesome and effective in these gifts and ministries, and guess what happens to them? They fall. Because they forget. They forget their first love. So a lot of things, one of my coaches, he tells me, he's like, man, you need one or two guys in your life that will speak truth to you, even if it hurts you a little bit, but out of love. And he said, do you have that kind of man in your life? I said, I think I have two. One of them is sitting right there. And then I have another one. But we got to do this thing in authentic love, right? Service is the second part. When do you find the most joy in your own life, right? Is it when people do things for you? Oh, joy, let me clean your shoes. Let me do all this stuff. It's usually when you're serving people. How many of you guys do like community service? Or just help out, do good things for people. Doesn't it feel like, you know, I always say, man, when you step out of your own comfort and you do something for somebody else, isn't it you that walks away with a blessing? You don't feel like, oh, man. No, it just feels like, man. And usually the person is, whether they're thankful or not, right? I've actually done some things like person didn't, I said, no, God called me at that time, I answered, and I feel His joy. And so what do we mean by you got to be authentic in love and service? It's just like, man, if you got to have buy-in, right? This is not, and one of the things that we're up against, right, in the culture is the consumerism, right? I'm just here to be entertained, and I'm here to consume. And it happens. We're all that way, yes? Yeah, don't lie. We're all consumers. We've all gone to church, and we're just like, oh, the worship was too loud. Did you hear the music? The cue was off. The pastor forgot half the lyrics in that one song, Kirk Foundation. He didn't know what he was doing. We're all consumers, right? Yeah, it's true. Well, you know what? I'm gonna move on. Here's my thing. When you take ownership, right, and you are part of it, you're locked in, it means like you're called to fulfill your purpose. You're called to serve at the end of the day. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. And the last thing is fellowship. And we just talked about all of that is, right? It's sharing the same struggles, victories, sharing the same, having the same word as Jesus, and just sharing the joy of being part of the same family. But the last thing I'll say in that passage of scripture, right, is that they also broke bread together, right? And so that's, yeah, what do we like to do? We like to eat, right? But there's also something else, right? They were saying, you know, earlier in this, we'll just go back to it. In Luke chapter 22, verse 17, right, there's something unique that Jesus gives them a command. Do you guys remember that? Jesus had only had not been gone for that long. But in Luke 22:17, he says, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. He took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, give it to you. Do this in remembrance of me. A lot of times we talk about the fellowship, the potluck. We get that standard. We shared a lot of good meals together. We laugh, we pray. But also there's a corporate command here, right? In the church. To do what? To remember what God did for us on the cross. Remember what Jesus did on the cross. He says, do this in remembrance of me, the breaking of the bread. Right? And so that's an important commandment too, that you need the church body to do that. You can't do it alone. The third value is sharing. Third value is sharing. It's being intentional to buy it and go out to reach people to make Jesus known. Be intentional to invite to reach people to make Jesus known. I just read the vision statement to you guys earlier, right? And the second half of it is what? To know Jesus and to make Jesus known. That's it. We're not trying to complicate things. We want to make it pretty, very simple. Right? But I think just faithful to that command. Can we know Jesus if we make him known? Can we share the good news of who he is? The scripture from that value is out of Matthew 28:19. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? Now, the context of this passage is what? This is shortly before Jesus ascends. And you guys have heard me say this before. Those of you have heard me preach before. This is one of the last things that Jesus' final instructions. It's a big deal. right? He's not asking you. He says, therefore, go. Right? Now, if you're called to the deathbed of somebody that you love and admire, mom, dad, grandparent, and they give you the final instruction, how would you respond to it? Would you say, well, I think that was for somebody else? Would you ignore it? You probably would want to get it done, right? How much more so if the creator of the universe saying, I'm giving you this command. I'm giving you this commission. And so that's just not just to the church back then. It's a command to the church today. Which is why we made it evaluate the church. We have to be intentional to invite and go and reach people to make Jesus known, right? They're not going to come if we don't invite them. And it's a 50-50 shot. It's actually, it could be even less than that. I invited tons of people, and like half of them showed up, and the other ones ghosted me, flat out. And I was like, wow. And some of them are my family, you know. But I gotta keep inviting, right? Because the enemy's a liar. And I gotta keep praying for them. Because the front row of my life, I want to see them in heaven, guys. What this book says is that if you're either, there's two places, and there's not in between. So we want to be obedient to the great commandment and the great commission. This is the great commission part, but man, this is, I think, you know, I've heard this said before, the greatest lie that the enemy will sometimes tell you is that you have time to do it later. And we got to make sure that it's a safe panic. Jesus is saying, he didn't say, therefore, wait for a better time. Therefore, when you feel like it. Therefore, when it's convenient. He says, therefore, go. Get it done. Right? And so we have to have a sense of urgency to share and invite, right, and reach people. Because it is a matter. We talked about worshiping the Spirit and the truth. There is spiritual realities, right? That these bodies are, they're going to stay here, but what, our soul goes somewhere. You know what the scripture says? You know who preached the most on the place? Everybody wants to go to heaven, right? But nobody wants Jesus as Lord. I want the blessing, but I don't want the sacrifice. I don't want the commitment. I don't want the devotion. That's not what this Bible teaches. And the person who gave the greatest warnings about hell with Jesus Christ himself. So we have to make sure, we have to have a sense of urgency, right? To invite people, to reach people, to make him known. You know, we have, again, the culture that we live in, there's a lot of value on things. God doesn't care about any of those things. He cares about people. And so we have to make sure that we are seeing people as they are, right? Well, I don't want that person. Maybe they should go to hell. No. That's terrible. Right? No, guys. God loves every single person, right? Every sinner. He knows them and he loves them. And he's saying, and he's inviting you to be a part of that. Man, one of the things that I've heard is like, man, what if you were in heaven, right? And then that person that you invited to church that got saved says, you know what? Sandra, thank you for inviting me. Joey, thank you for inviting me. I didn't know. I was confused about God. I didn't know who he was, but thank you for inviting me. Right? Sister Melinda, thank you. This is a reality, guys. And so the question to you, and I have to say, it's a little bit of a challenge too, is like, who's going to be in heaven because we just did what God wanted us to do? Because we did the invitation. And on the flip side of that question, there's another part to say, man, who's not going to be there because we didn't have the courage to speak life to them about the reality. We didn't love them enough to say, hey, there's an alternative to heaven. I don't want you to go there. I'm going to keep praying for you. And Jesus himself says, when you invite people and when you go, he says, people are going to, they're not going to want to hear it. We're going to throw rocks at you. None of us have gotten stoned. Or not like that stoned. But stoned like with rocks. Kicked out of town for sharing the good news of who Jesus is. None of us. And Jesus said what? If they don't accept you, man, dust yourself off. He was was doing it way before Jay-Z was saying. Jay-Z was like on your shoulder, but he was saying, clean your chuck, dust off your chakla and go to the next town. Right? We have to be intentional to invite and to go reach people for Jesus Christ. The Great Commission is, of course, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Going back to who? God is a triune God, right? And worshiping the Spirit and the truth. The fourth value, and running out of time, is growing, right? We want to be committed to growing, committed to bring people in, build them up, and send them out. Committed to bring people in, build them up, and send them out as ministry leaders and church planters, right? How do we keep growing the kingdom, right? We're called to equip the next generation, right? And so the verse there is out of Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, and it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. God equipped people with spiritual gifts. Everybody in here has a spiritual gift. You could be a teacher, you could be the next pastor, you could be a helper. But your gift, it has a purpose for the kingdom, right? And one of the biggest things, right, if you always study philosophy, there's always four main questions that you'll hear about. They're usually questions about what? About origin, about purpose and meaning, and where you're going after you die. And the other one is where you came from before. But here's the thing, is that when you're walking with Christ and you know this book and you study it, I would say, you know where you came from. You didn't come from a monkey. If you're walking with Christ, you know where you're going. Right? What's the middle part? What's at the center of your life? If God has equipped you and given you spiritual gifts, talents, and abilities, it's not for you. It's for his kingdom and for his glory. And so for us, we want to be very intentional here at the church, right? To raise up people, to help them cultivate, right? The spiritual gifts, talents, and abilities for his honor, for his glory. And so we've talked about what does it look like for children's ministry teachers and volunteers and to bring, start training people up, worship leaders, people who want to preach the word, right? We got to be very. We're going to be very careful because we have to make sure that we're in alignment with what God's word says. And I'm talking about preaching now. Biblically solid, our theology solid. You know, this is a dangerous place to be too, right? We don't get to pick and choose. We need to understand what this word says. The next worship leaders, the next multimedia person, whatever it looks like. But it's our job to make sure that we are building them up, bringing them in, right? Building them up, and then sending them out to do God's work. And it's not for our glory. It's all for God. I didn't put it on there, but I think Matthew 6:33, if you guys don't know it already, that's our church verse. Right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Kind of what we summarize. It's not about us, right? We got to seek God first, and then he'll take care of everything else. And so we're firmly believing in that. You heard me say before is that we can, in this world that we live in, we can get confused pretty easily about what we value. But God values people the most. He values you. He saw you. He knew you, right? I say he knitted you together in your mother's womb. Just say amen. I made you set apart. I set you apart for this work. So that's what we're here to do at the end of the day, right? How can we make sure that we love God, right? How can we make sure that we're committed to him in worship? How can we make sure that we're authentic in our community, our service and love to one another? How can we make sure that we are sharing and committed to invite people, being intentional to go get them? And then lastly, again, right? Growing the next generation of the church body. God is good, guys. And I'm just excited. I thank you guys again. share the good news of who he is, right? This is not a, it's not optional. If you're here, I say, hey, we encourage you to come back. He's staying plugged in, invite people to come in. You know, there's not a lot of you guys here, so in authentic ministry, my wife doesn't know this, but we have a bunch of pozole at my house. You guys can come over and have lunch with us. You can find out all about how we do life together. Our house is a hot mess sometimes, but it's not a museum because we live there. She doesn't know what she's like. I don't know what he says, but I'm serious. If you want to know how pozole, I had a massive pot for my birthday. Great even expected to come over to my house. We want to do life together. I mean that. Invitation's open, but make sure you tell my wife that you're going to show up because she's, I'm going to have to go home and sleep. Listen, this is what we're called to do, right? We want to be authentic in ministry and service and what we're doing. We don't have to, we're not going to fake it till we make it. This is who, this is our, God's word is unchanging, right? But he gives each one of us personalities and styles, and he's not trying to, he's trying to form our character, right? But our personality is who we are. We want to share this life together. So I encourage you again, get plugged in. If you want to know more, just keep coming. Pray about it, you know. Invite friends. This is who we are. We're going to learn more about it. We're going to do some more pizza with the pastor. Today you can do pozole with the pastor. Praise God. And it's actually really good. It's not that watered down kind some people have. It's like the real good stuff. A lot of red chili. Amen? Let's stand up and pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you for giving us life, Lord God. Thank you for the power of your word, for calling us together to gather to worship, Lord God. And you are the awesome and living God. Thank you. Thank you for every person that is here, Lord God. My prayer is a prayer of protection over their family, over their home. Lord God, you know our hearts, Lord God. You know our, you know when we wake up, you know when we go to sleep, Lord God. You are sovereign over all things. You're omniscient, Lord. There's not a trial that you don't know. Well, we're in the middle of it, Lord. And so, Lord, I just, it's my prayer today, Lord, that we can come before you and just recognize our need for you, Lord, and our need to worship you, be devoted to you, Lord God, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, that we can recognize the need for fellowship, Lord God, authentic fellowship. That we want to share life together, Lord God, that we need that. There's no way that we can do the 52 one another's in the New Testament alone. Lord, you didn't call us to do this journey of life alone. That is a lie of the enemy. So Lord, thank you for the church, Lord God. Thank you for your plan A, Lord God, for rescue. And that's the church. And there's no plan B. So Lord, I just pray that you continue just to move, Lord God. Prepare our hearts, continue to just be with our launch team and our people that are showing up here, Lord. Prepare us for the work. Help us to be obedient, Lord God. To find joy in serving and setting up and tearing down, Lord. And pulling the traitors at 6 o'clock in the morning. Thank you for your goodness, Lord God. But Lord, again, I know when we come to church and we gather, Lord, some of us might be on the high, some of us might be on the low. And Lord, it's just my encouragement that you meet, Lord, this church body where they are. That you see them where they are. Remind them, number one, of your love for them, of your grace for them, of salvation that can be found only in Jesus for each one of them, Lord God, and that they can be made whole, Lord God, by just surrendering to Jesus. Lord, thank you again for the calling that you have for us, Lord God, to share the good news of who you are, to raise up the next generation of believers, Lord, and just to be obedient, Lord God. And I'm excited, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing and what you're going to keep doing. Lord, if 5 people show up next week, then we're going to praise God like there's 100 people. It doesn't matter, Lord God. We don't do it for an audience, Lord. We do it for you, Lord Jesus. Just thank you again, Lord, for every person that is here. And again, Lord, just meet us where we are, Lord God. We know that your grace and your love for us, Lord God, is there's no measure for it, Lord. I just pray again that we surrender, Lord. All the noise, all the drama, Lord, get it, cast it out, Lord God. Rebuke the lies and attacks of the enemy for our family, over our homes, over our personal situation, Lord. Lord, if we have a need, whether it's emotional, mental, health, physical needs, financial needs, Lord God, please, Lord God, meet us where we are. Show us favor, Lord. it's not about the blessing, Lord. You are enough, Lord God. If the answer is yes, thank you. If the answer is no, thank you anyway. We're going to glorify your name. We're going to lift you up because you're God. Let's continue to work in our lives, Lord God. Help us to be obedient to the call, Lord God, to share the good news of who you are. And just to share again your goodness. I can't say it enough, Lord, just to go and do our part of the Great Commission. It's our prayer that nobody that we know, nobody, Lord God, it's actually your will that nobody would be apart from you, Lord God. It would be with you because you are a good Father, Lord. Lord, bless us on this day. Keep us safe, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to gather and meet here. Thank you for the district and all the staff that we've got helping us here, Lord God. And Lord, just even as we continue our routine of setting up the prayer, not enough to get tired, Lord God. We know you're meeting this, Lord. You're going to give us that extra energy we need, Lord, to do your work and your will. So thank you, Lord. Bless our families. Protect us, Lord Jesus. And again, thank you again for your goodness and your love for us, Lord. Love you. In Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.